from the fast itself, and for me, I suppose this really came from the fast, and something God really impressed us. No major flash of lightning or something like that, and there's a crash of cymbals and drums and everything. None of that at all. It was just basically, I just felt God was saying that this year He wants me to preach the good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus. I'll say it again, the good news about Jesus, because it's good news about Jesus. Lots of bad stuff going on in the world, but it doesn't change the fact that we've got the message to preach the good news about Jesus. When Jesus commissioned His disciples and He sent them out and He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to the people. And I think that's where I'm at the moment, and I make no apologies for it, but I really believe this year that every time I preach, I'm going to be preaching about Jesus. I'm going to be preaching about the good news that He came, the good news that He gave Himself for you and for me, the good news that He gave up everything in heaven's glory for you and for me, that we might live lives that reflect His glory, that reflect His majesty, that reflect Him in every way. And the one thing that came was the word yoke. And I know for Madge at breakfast yesterday, you didn't eat your yolks, did you? But this is a different kind of yolk. This isn't egg yolk, this is yolk. And I really believe that 2015, for us as individuals, us as a church, God is going to, if we will allow Him to, He's going to break the yoke of slavery. You say, well, you know, what you're talking about slavery. I really believe that many of us can be enslaved to things that we've, you know, that we don't even think about, but they're there in the background. You know, that we felt like when we came to Jesus, we gave everything to Him, and yet sometimes we just hold things in our hearts, and so many things, sometimes they're buried so deep within our hearts, they never come to the surface, and we live with them. You know, and these things I really sense in my heart, these things just add on weight to our lives. You know, Bible talks about lightness of spirit. My prayer this year is every one of us here in this church will have a lightness of spirit, because Jesus has taken away the burden, the slavery, the stuff that sticks with us year in and year out. And the question I want to ask you is, what does 2015 hold for you? What does this new year hold for you? You can say all sorts of things, great opportunities and new things to do and whatever. Yeah, that's fine, not a problem, and I'm with you every step of the way on that, but just, I want you just to think for a minute, consider for a minute where you were in 2014 and we're now in 2015. What have you brought with you from 2014? Yeah, well, sometimes God does that, and he hones in on what He wants to speak to His church, and I really just sense that what are we bringing in? And I think I shared with Guy the other day, you know, we can be forever asking the question, why? We look back and we see the problems and the difficulties, the stuff that happened last year. We can say, why Lord? And I read something from somebody that I sort of follow on the internet, this young man, but really, really sort of got a very, very wonderful knowledge of scripture. And Phil said these words, not this Phil that I follow, and he actually said this, we're forever asking why. Folks, it's time to say what next. It's time to move on to the what next in our lives, rather than dwell with the why. And we dwell with the why because it's a yoke of slavery. It's stuff that the scripture talks about. It's stuff that we shouldn't be carrying. You know, how many times have we as a church talked about excess baggage? I'm not talking about what we carry in mince pies from Christmas. I'm talking about the excess baggage in our spirits that we carry along in our hearts, that we tow along with us all the way. And sometimes life is a real sort of trek, a hard slog. It's more like Phil's worst imaginable ever walks in the mountains. You know, I thought I was going to die. You know, and physically I wasn't ready for that kind of walk. You know, and God wants us to walk with the lightness of spirit in this year. And he has challenges for us. And he doesn't want us to be carrying the stuff that's yoked us in previous years. I'm not just talking about stuff that 2014 had from us. Some of us are carrying stuff from way back when. And we're carrying it with us. And it's heavy. And it's hard. And I really believe that the message of good news for us as a church and for us as individuals today, for this year, is God wants to deal with that yoke. He wants to deal with that burden that we're carrying along, that stuff that's there. And he wants to say, if you let me do it with you, I'll break it off you. And I want to just give you some examples this morning, I believe, of how we can break off that yoke of slavery. So we're entering this year. You know, we got lots of good things that we can say from last year. Lots of wonderful experiences has happened for us as individuals, for us as a church. Some of us, major problems, difficulties, family situations and stuff that's happened. You know, real hard stuff. Hard stuff to deal with, hard stuff to cope with. And yet God has brought us through and God takes us on and on and on and on. You know, God gave me this example in my mind as I was thinking about this heaviness that sometimes we carry with stuff that we no longer need, but we choose to carry it. You know, and Paul talks about being an athlete for the gospel, I was just sensing that, you know, when an athlete trains, they go to altitude, you know, and where the air is thinner. Footballers train up there, athletes train up in the mountains. When my son lives in Colorado, they'll go up there to 2 miles high. They train in high altitude but low sort of atmosphere really. And when they come down to the normal sea level, they're almost like amazing athletes because they've really sort of, you know, and God was saying, well, you, Andrew, you can be like that. We all can be like this. You see, we can train to carry the mess. We train to carry the burdens with us. We train to carry the stuff year after year after year after year until we get to the stage where we don't even know we're carrying it anymore because we're so used to carrying it with us. We train ourselves into it. The weightlifter will go. You know, I love watching World's Strongest Man. I love watching that because I think part of me wish I could have done that, like, you know, and lift a car and carry a car like down a track on my shoulders and everything like that. It makes my knees quake at the thought of it. You know, but we do like that. We're carrying stuff and we get so used to it. We're trained in carrying problems. We're trained in carrying stuff from the past. We train ourselves. And God said, this is not the way that we're to be. He wants us free of the baggage, free of the stuff that we carry along with us year on year, year on year. These weights that we get carried around us, and in the end we don't even know they're there because we've been so used to carrying it. So used to the burden of it that it doesn't seem like a burden anymore, and then we just add another burden to it, and another burden to it, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. I've got good news this morning. Jesus wants to take care of the weights. Jesus wants to take care of the weight that you carry. And as I said, I read recently from Phil's blog, and he said, like, you know, and this is the man that's just gone through a separation from his wife. His wife has left him. And through the ministry, because of the ministry, you don't know sometimes how these things can happen. And he's questioning all sorts of things. And he just turned around and he said, I've come to the place where I'm thinking, I'm going to stop asking God why. I want to start saying, God, what next? Where do I go to next? Let me lay aside this heavy burden that I'm carrying, because I want to be fit and athletic with you in the spiritual realm, that I can move forward in this year and do something for you that you've called me to do. Paul says this so clearly in Philippians 3:13. He says that, in my words, that he's not sussed it all out yet, but these are the words he says. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. He says, don't stay where you are, move on in your life, move on to God's best for you. That's where God wants you to be this morning. That's where God wants me to be this morning. He wants me to be forgetting the stuff, even some of the good stuff. We can hang on to the good stuff. We lay markers down. Oh, weren't they good old days? Wasn't that brilliant? Wasn't that a wonderful time? There's nothing wrong with that. But don't set what God can do for you tomorrow by what he did for you yesterday. We can be trapped sometimes. Sometimes we set things in place and almost they become barriers for us moving on. You know, what's the most amazing thing God's done for you as an individual in your lifetime? You know, what I'm asking you the question, what is the most amazing thing? That God, if I got every one of you to come out one by one, like Pat did this morning about the prayer and the fasting, if I was to say, come out and tell us, what was the most amazing thing that God did for you during your lifetime? You'd all come out with different things. You know, but I'm saying this morning, don't measure what God can do for you in the future about what he did for you in the past, because the best is yet to come. You've heard it before. I'll say it again today. The best can be yet to come for you. You know, you're not achieved. We've not run the race yet. We've not passed that finishing tape. And between here and there, let's look out for some amazing more things that God is able to do through you and through me. And let's not belittle what he can do. Let's be like Paul. Let's lay aside the good and the bad and say, Father, what next? What have you got for me in this year? What can I do for you? But it's not all about doing. And this message this morning about the yoke, I just pray that you'll just birth it in your heart. God will do something in your heart today that will change the way that you think. You see, our walk with Jesus shouldn't be burdensome. Yet the enemy wants to slow you down. He wants to slow you down this morning. He wants to make it burdensome for you. You know, and if you keep trudging into this year, laden with the stuff and piling on more stuff that you were never meant to carry, God never designed you to carry stuff that you carry. He never did. And if you want to do that, and if you even train yourself to carry that big heavy stuff, God says to you, I know a better way. I can show you a better way if you let me show you that better way. And that better way, I believe, before I jump ahead of myself too much, is that he wants us to be yoked to Jesus today. Yoked to Jesus today. My dad used to tell me that when he was a young man, probably in the late 20s, early 30s, that he used to plough with horses. And my dad said whenever there was a plough with perhaps two furrows or three furrows, you know, a horse can only take so much. You know, that when a single horse would normally pull a single furrow plough, but when dad used to have a bigger plough, or there's more land to do, bigger fields to do, then he would have two horses, and they would be yoked together. And dad used to always tell me the fact is that it was never good to have two strong horses. It was always good to have one strong horse and one horse that wasn't so strong next to it. Because, you know, when you've got two strong horses, they can almost pull apart. They can almost want to take it their own way. And you know, every ploughman's heart and desire is to plough a straight furrow. You know, that, you know, I can remember in the early days going back and seeing Dad when we used to go visit the farm back in South Wales, and we go and visit the relatives there, and see them now, obviously with modern machinery, you know, and now you've got like 6 and 8 furrow ploughs pulled behind tractors with major horsepowers, all beautifully lined up. But the art in those days with the horse and the plough was still to plough a straight furrow. That was the mark of the ploughman. That was the mark of the man. And the beast that was in control, you know, and Dad would always say that it was so good, you know, to have a strong horse. And then basically all that Dad would do, he would be using the bridle and controlling the strong horse. Because if he can control the strong horse, the not so strong horse would follow exactly, because they were yoked together, because they were bridled together. But you'd only have to concentrate. You wouldn't have to be pulling one and pulling the other, but you'd be pulling the strong horse. You see, in this, it's a wonderful picture there of when you got Jesus and us yoked to him, how he takes us in a straight direction, how he pulls us in the right way, how he takes the load for us when we're not strong, when we're weak, and how he leads us on. And beautiful, beautiful pictures of the walking in his way. And I read in my dictionary about three kinds of yokes. There's more than three, but the three that I read about was firstly a wooden frame placed over the necks of two ox oxen to hold them together when they're pulling a plow. Secondly, a frame placed across a person's shoulders for carrying buckets. You see pictures of that, the milkmaids with the yoke and this sort of thing. And the third one, this explanation, a dictionary explanation of a yoke, is something oppressive. You know, something oppressive. Now that's what the enemy wants to put on all us who love Jesus, or given our hearts to Jesus. He wants to put on us something that's oppressive, something that's going to weigh us down, something that's going to make it hard to walk the walk and talk the talk that we talk about so often here. We say the words spill out of our mouths. You know, when we're at the fighting edge and when we're on the front line for Jesus, it's a lot more difficult. But that's what he calls us to do. He's calling us to have that link with him, that relationship with Jesus that is just like the yoke. You know what to be bound together with anybody else, what a privilege it is to be somebody. I think Pat said this morning, the privilege to know about Jesus, to know him. And it's a total privilege for us this morning to know Jesus. And he wants to take this oppressive weight from our hearts. He wants to relieve us from the stuff that we don't have to carry around with us. And he's got these pictures of people just being oppressed, this yoke of slavery. And starting with the third first, this oppressive yoke, I believe it aptly describes what the scripture speaks of as a yoke of slavery. You know, it's something oppressive. It's a great burden. It's the world on our shoulders. It's fear. It's loss. It's bad situations. It's stress. It's grief. It's hurt. It's worry. You name it, you can find it. This yoke of slavery, it's there at every turn. You know, I've only just listed a few, but all sorts of things can be a yoke of slavery. Old ways, old thinkings, the way we've always done it. You know, the way it's always been in the past. Well, we need to wake up to God's got a great future for every single one of us here. However long that may be, you know, God wants us to walk in freedom, and he wants us to walk in his light and to achieve those things he has for us to achieve. He wants to lift off the burden of fear. He wants to lift off. If the devil can keep you in fear, he'll keep you burdened, he'll keep you yoked, and you'll never ever do what God wants you to do. He'll have you absolutely trapped in that place of fear. And I really believe that God is wanting to lift that off us, to take away the fear, the bad situations, to take off the stress and the grief and the hurts and the worry. All of these things. And that's what Jesus did. And in Matthew 23:4, I don't expect you to follow me through this morning, but I just want to read just a few scriptures to you this morning. Matthew 23:4, it says these words. This is Jesus having a go at the Pharisees and talking about them. And Jesus said to the crowds, this is verse 1, and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. And verse 4, this is the verse I'm coming to, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders that they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Talks about the way that the Pharisees worked, loading the people with extra laws and things that were never ever in scripture anyway from the beginning of time. They want to just pile onto the people the stuff that they don't have to do, just because it's like the laws of man. It's because what we think's good. And as leaders in the church, we have to be so careful so that we don't put things on the people. You know, and here's just an example there of Jesus saying, you know, don't lay on my people, don't lay on God's people anything else. You know, they know, but you just give them more and more things that are impossible to do. And it's like talking about the old covenant, you know, of the law that none of us could ever keep. It just shows us our sin. The old covenant just showed us the sin. It made the sin in our face. It showed us we couldn't keep it. And then God gave us Jesus. God gave us a way, and he gave us a new way and a new covenant. And he opened up a new way for us through him, through Jesus, through his precious, lovely Son. But here were the religious leaders of the day laying on the hearts of the people stuff that God didn't want them to carry. God didn't want them to do. But basically it made the Pharisees look good. It made the leaders look good. And it made the people oppressed, carrying burdens. This is what Jesus accused them of there in Matthew 23:4. People can put this yoke on us. Doing things we know we shouldn't be doing puts this yoke upon us. Feeling disappointed in ourselves can put this yoke upon us. You name it, you say it yourself. There's lots and lots of more things there you can see. This is this yoke of slavery. Galatians chapter 4. Paul gives this wonderful example here. And again, we've almost touched on it again this morning. I think Richard touched on it a little bit with his word. And Duncan touched on it with the things happening in Paris. And the rise in this awful acts of terrorism done in the name of Mohammed. And here we have, in Galatians 4, we have Paul talking to them about slavery. And in 4:21, this is talking about Hagar and Sarah. And it's to tell me who you want to be under. Tell me, you who want to be under the law. Are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. Do you know this morning that you are here a child of the promise? You're not a child of the slave woman. This is Ishmael. This is where it all started, as far as the other world religion as it is. You know, this is where it all started here, talking about this. You see, we are children of the free woman. Children of the free. It says, now Hagar, verse 25, now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with the children. But the Jerusalem that is above, the holy city, the Jerusalem we look forward to with anticipation, that place where God is and where he's calling us to. It says, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written. And it goes on in verse 28, says, but now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of the promise. And that's a promise to you too here today. You're children of the promise. You're not children of the slave woman. You're children of the free woman, set free by the precious blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And it goes on there in verse 31. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but children of the free woman. Then it goes on then in chapter 5. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're not children of the slave anymore. We're children of the free. We're not children of the law and of the flesh, but we're children of the Spirit. But it's now within our very hearts that God has placed that within us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is where it comes. We sing the song, don't we? It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. I don't know whether you know that. I used to sing that when I was a little tiny tot. That this is one of the songs that come out. You know, it's taken from this part of scripture here. You know, there's no going back. No going back. Forgetting what lies behind. Like Paul says in Philippians that I read in 3:13. You know, it's nice to have memories of things. But oh, for new opportunities, of new memories, of greater things for God than we've ever achieved before. And they're available for you. And they're available for me. If we can lay aside and lay down and let Jesus just take the weight of these burdens off our shoulders. Wonderful, wonderful picture there of in Old Testament days of how, just because Abraham wanted, God had promised him a son, and because he couldn't wait for God's promise, again brings into what Richard has said this morning, because he couldn't wait for God's promise, he goes with his slave servant and produces Ishmael, son of the flesh, a son of man's desire. But we are children of God's desire and God's heart. We are the Isaacs of his lineage today, almost. In spiritually, you can say we've come down the line of Isaac. You know, we're children of promise. Sons and daughters are promised today. Heirs to the kingdom. You can go out and wax lyrical for hours about it. But there it is. That's what the scripture says. That's what you are. Whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, I'm telling you this morning, if you've given your heart to Christ, if you're following Christ, and we heard from our John Bevere video in the week, like to believe in Christ wasn't just in those days, the word believe meant to obey. You know, it didn't just mean to say, yeah, okay, I believe he came, and I believe he was a good man, and I believe if I give my life to him that he's going to save me. Yeah, that's wonderful. But it meant to obey him. To believe meant to obey. It was a step further. It was a step further. It meant a lot more in biblical days than it does today. Everything is so fast and microwave today, we lighten the fact that in those days it was a step of obedience. It's like when we go through the waters of baptism, being obedient, following Jesus through, going where Jesus went, doing what Jesus did. And that's what he calls us to do, to follow him through. Yoke of slavery. And I've written down here, a slave has no choice but to obey his master for fear of reprisals. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free and set me free, that I can do for him what he's called me to do. That's the good news here today. Jesus said in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I want to say this morning, church, that thing isn't, you know, it in many respects is quite strange, because he doesn't want us to be slaves to sin and to the flesh and to the old, but he says he wants us to be almost slaves to him. And but there's a real difference in being a slave to Christ as to being a slave to sin, mainly because our obedience should be the product of love and not fear. You see, sin brings fear. You know, we always want to please God, and it was all about serving, it was all about doing, it was all about us. As Duncan said, it was all about I, it was all about me, it was all about me racing around, me doing this, me spending plenty time in the Word, me doing all sorts of things out there on the street, knocking doors, all sorts of things. But none of those things would ever make me right with Christ. None of those things would ever put me in a place where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All of those things were good in their way, but they weren't coming out of my relationship with Jesus. They were coming out of a relationship that I just wanted to do things because I thought if I did good things, if I did lots of good things, then I was going to be good in his sight. But when I learned, the fact is I was good in his sight anyway, without those things, because he made me. Before time, as I said this morning again, you know, before I was a twinkle in my mother's eye, God had knew me. And he set aside today for this word to be preached today, for you to be here to hear. And I pray the Holy Spirit will just move in everyone's heart today, and we'll realize that we don't have to toil and carry the burdens of life to look good in his sight. You're looking good in Jesus' sight today. You look brilliant. He loves you so very much. He loves you just the way that you are. But he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants us to get to know him more and more and more. John 8:36 says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Has he set you free today? Has the Son set you free? Has the Son done something in your life? Because if he has, you'll live differently. We are different. We cannot live under the old covenant and the new covenant together. There is a new covenant. I'm not dismissing the old covenant today. Hear me what I'm saying. There's so much of wealth in these scriptures here. So much to show us. But Jesus came to show us a new way. He showed us a better way. And it's the way of salvation. The way of the Spirit. It will no longer be external. The priest would no longer do it all for us. But Jesus did it for us on the cross. And it will all be in here. And this is the way that we would be. The first yoke that binds two oxen together speaks to me about our need to have this kind of yoke, a relationship with Jesus, a binding together in His love, that as we walk out in our Christian walk, a Christian life, we go together in the same direction. We go together into the same direction. It's like a picture of my dad with his horses. You know, the strong horse led the weaker horse. And because they were bound together, the weaker horse went where the strong horse went. And that's just a picture of Jesus. And if we're bound to Him in relationship, He will take us. And we'll plough straight furrows for Him. They'll be straight and true and perfect and beautiful and lovely and wonderful. And that's where He wants us to be. He wants us to have that yoking with His Son. God wants us to have that yoking with Jesus that takes us in that straight path. When we're bound together with Him, we automatically go where He goes. We automatically do what He does. And He says, I only do and say what I hear from my Father. So if we're bound together with Him, we're following in that way. The second yoke, the one that's placed across a person's shoulders, speaks so much to me about Jesus and the cross. You know, a physical yoke helped spread the load that was carried, and this portrays the beautiful picture of the Lord described in Isaiah 53:4. The NIV says that He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. There's an S on the end of both of those words. Remember, 30 years ago, Audrey will remember this, the lady called, I can't remember, I know her name was Watts. We did an Easter musical at church. She wrote the song based on this. Ruth Watts, her husband played for the Birmingham Philharmonic Orchestra, trombone. I would never forget the couple. And she wrote some beautiful songs for this Easter musical we did in church at Rugeley Free Church in the early days. And it went like this. Surely He has borne my grief and carried all my sorrow. Surely He has lifted me and covered all my tomorrows. Well, tomorrows was plural. But I'm sure, I tried to find the original script, I couldn't find it, but I'm sure when Ruth wrote it, she wrote the words, surely He has borne my grief and carried all my sorrow. Surely He has lifted me. 30 years on, you know, there's an S on the end of both of those words. Surely He has borne your griefs. The grief of today and the grief of tomorrow. And He's carried your sorrows as well. The sorrows of today and the sorrows of tomorrow and the sorrows of yesterday. He's borne these. He's covered all your tomorrows. Next week and next month and next year are taken care of by Him. He's covered them. He's covered them all for us. I just want to finish with Matthew 11. 28. You know, just a bit before that, in verse 20, Jesus, it says, began to denounce the towns in which most of His miracles had been performed because they didn't repent. That's what the word says. You know, as Pat said, we're so privileged to know Jesus. Verse 27 says, all things, this is chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal them. He's chosen you to reveal things of heaven to you this morning. He's chosen you to have an understanding. Then He says these beautiful words, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if the truth has set us free, let's start living like free people. If the truth has set us free, let's cast off these things that weigh us down and make life a drudgery at times. Let's not rely on our flesh, on our doing stuff to make it better, but let's rely on His Spirit, the Spirit of God and the grace of God that He's given to us. Let's take on His yoke. His yoke. This is a wonderful truth, that the truth has set us free. This is the better, more excellent way that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and going on to this here in 13. This is where he talks about, you know, I will show you a better, a more excellent way. It's all about loving God and loving each other. What is Jesus' yoke? It's a yoke of relationship. It's a yoke of rest, a yoke of humility. It's a yoke of gentleness, a yoke of freedom, peace, joy, and love. A real fellowship with Jesus is the only way that we're going to change. The only way that God is going to bring about those things in our lives that we want to do and we know that are right. It's the only way. We're not going to change by ourselves. We're not going to change by just trying to be good, because every time we'll be let down. Every time we'll think, again, messed up. Big time. Happens all the time. Real fellowship with Him is the only way that our lives are going to change. And it's all about Him. And it's all about His grace. It's all about His love. And it's all about His forgiveness. That's what it's about. It's not about anything we can do ourselves. We've tried and we've failed so often. I just want to just finish off by just reading. I'm sorry I'm keeping you a bit longer today. I really feel important that I say what I really believe God's laid on my heart to say today. I want to read you this. This is really an amazing few lines out of this book from Dr. James B. Richards. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Fear will cause a person to obey somebody he hates or despises. But Jesus said, "If you love me and keep my commandments, our obedience should be the product of love and not fear." I've already said that. And he goes on to say these words. "As a young boy in Tennessee, I had a world of problems. I was full of anger and bitterness. I would curse, steal, fight, and do all things a mean little boy would do. I loved my mother, but my home environment was so bad, I hated being there. I made bad grades in school. I had no interest in improving myself. The one redeeming relationship in my life was with my uncle. When he came home from the military, I was staying with my grandmother, and he took an interest in me. He was my hero. He was everything I wanted to be. He had extremely high standards, and he expected me to live up to his standards, but there was no negativism in it at all. He always conveyed trust in me. He always told me I was able to do what he expected. Because he believed in me, he could get me to do, through love, what 100 spankings had never been able to do. I did not obey him for fear of what he would do. I obeyed him because I loved him, respected him, and valued our relationship. I could not bear the idea of disappointing him with my behavior. Similarly, I never said that word. When we come to know the love of God and His great goodness, we realize the value of the relationship. I do not want to do anything to displease or disappoint the one who has done so much for me. Because I love Him, I am going to walk in His word. When I fail, I know that I'm not rejected. It is a wonderful thing to have a relationship with someone who has high standards, but it does not reject us when we fail to live up to those standards. The fact that somebody believes in you will enable you to get up when you fall. God does not have one standard of love for Himself and another standard for us. The love described in 1 Corinthians 13 is God's kind of love. We are required to walk in that kind of love because we are to be like God. God's love does not reject or condemn, neither does it allow us to do so. Although He is holy and perfect, He does not reject us in our imperfection. Instead, because we have an environment of peace and acceptance, we can continually draw from His strength until we do overcome. Some really wise words there from Mr. Richards. Jesus. What a beautiful name. I don't know whether you got it, Guy, on there, if you able to put that up. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Let's sing the last two verses together. No music. Let's just go for it as a prayer as we finish our service today. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Truth revealed. Truth revealed. My future sealed. Healed my pain. Love and freedom, life and warmth, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. And the last verse. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Rescued my soul, my stronghold, lifts me from shame. Forgiveness, security, power and love, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Grace that blows all fear away. You know, that's the killer from burdens and weights. It's fear. Fear of not doing, fear of letting down, fear. And Jesus says, be yoked to me. I'll take your fear away. Because where I go, you go. Where I lead, you follow. We do it together. So my prayer this morning is that we just allow that amazing grace that blows all fear away to sweep into our hearts. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you what a beautiful name our Saviour has. And Lord, this morning, I just pray that, Lord, that as we allow, Father, that spiritual, heavenly, blessed, lightweight yoke that you place upon our shoulders, Father, to draw us to yourself, to help spread the load and the burdens that we carry, that, Father, that as we come close, as we get near, as we come up alongside, that, Father, this year will be a year of really seeing some amazing things happen in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, of our families, and our family, the church here, that, Father, as we go, Father, with this lightweight yoke upon our shoulders, Father, to go and to minister into the lives of people around this area. Father, I pray that, Father, that the words that we bring will bring light and hope, and faith will rise, strength will rise, Father, as we talk about Jesus and all the wonderful things that he's done for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Father, that you've made a way for us to rid ourselves of the baggage and the burdens. We thank you that we can draw close to you today. We thank you that you receive us today, Father, and there's no rejection. Yes, we may have let you down. We may have done things wrongly. But Father, you just say, come, be yoked to me today. What a beautiful, beautiful Saviour you are. And so, Lord, I pray that today we'll go rejoicing that we have a Saviour like Jesus, that we have you to walk with us every step of the way. And Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory today in Jesus' precious name. Thanking you. Amen.